Hi, and welcome back to New Every Day. My name's Jen, and this is Jane. And on today's show, we're going to talk about money matters. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to New Every Day. We're so glad that each of you can join us. And I know things look a little bit different today because Jane is here.
Hi.
And you'll recognize Jane. She's been on our previous show when we talked about our Ghana missions trip. Mm-hmm. And Carrie is unavailable this evening today because you might be thinking, where's Carrie at? Well, it just worked out really well that Jane was able to join us for today's show. And Carrie will be returning back very shortly, so you can stay tuned for that. But I thought it was really cool that we had this opportunity to hang out today, because one of the things that I love about Jane is that she's, A, loves Jesus, 2, loves adventuring, and 3, knows a lot about money. And you might be thinking, why is that so important? Well, because money is one of the most talked about things in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, when our young adult group was trying to figure out what we should do, and we basically just went around and we said, what do you want to talk about? And they said, we want to talk about finances. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, finances? Okay. And so we have some really cool people in our church that are great at our are great at money, but then are great at articulating what matters about money, mm-hmm. why money is important, but how do you actually use it in your life rather than it using you, and from a godly perspective. Mm-hmm. And so Jane is, by profession, we say, what would you say your profession is?
I'm a financial advisor, so I actually would say a financial counselor.
Okay. Yeah. So we invited Jane to come and talk to us that night. And we were just blown away by her story, because money looked totally different in her life and the role that mm-hmm. it played. Because often as young adults coming out of school, mm-hmm. there's all sorts of debt, and especially mm-hmm. related to school mm-hmm. debt. And so one of the biggest questions they have is, how do I get out of debt? And it seems like the world is constantly in debt. So,
right.
you know, as a financial counselor, if I was to come to you and say, please help me get out of debt.
Right.
What would you say? How do we go about doing this?
I would say that before I answer that question, I would say that the number one thing that stops us from getting out of debt is ourselves. The choices that we make. We have decided as a society in general, particularly here in North America, that debt is simply acceptable. And we have all bought into that to a certain extent. We have all bought into this idea that everyone has debt. Everyone has a mortgage. Everyone has 2 cars. Everyone carries debt. Everyone goes on a vacation every year, and everyone pays for that on their credit card. We have bought into that idea that, therefore, if everyone else is doing it, that it must be okay. So we've determined it's okay. And we've also determined that it's okay for me. So not only is it okay for you, but it's also okay for me.
Now just to interrupt, you said something very interesting, because she said, we have agreed that it's okay to have debt.
Right.
So then in my mind, I'm like, but has somebody said it's not okay? Right? If we have agreed that it's okay, then has somebody said that it's not okay?
Well, it usually is not even that somebody will say it's not okay. What usually happens is that people get in so deep over their heads that all they're doing is literally making a minimum payment on this credit card and then using that to buy gas. And then making a minimum payment on this credit card and then using it again to buy whatever. Okay. And so they're just, and then they actually stop and realize they are never going to get out from underneath their debt load unless they make some changes. So the change has to start somewhere with people coming to the realization that it is not okay.
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 Now, is there a... I get, because we believe in Jesus, we talk about Jesus a whole lot in this show. Does somewhere in Scripture, does it talk about debt? Right? Because, for those people that maybe haven't read that part yet, or they've read it over not with that particular mindset, like if somebody was to come to you and, well, show me in the Bible what it says about debt.
Right.
Would you be able to say, well, actually.
Yes.
It does talk about debt.
God talks about money a lot in the Old Testament, and Jesus talks about money a lot in the New Testament.
Okay.
So both Old and New Testament, there are so many different examples of money. God talks about it to the Israelites that they were not to lend money with interest. So if they were lending out money to one another, they were not to be charging interest. So God already set the standard there that there's such a thing called interest on a debt.
Yes.
Jesus talks about where your heart is. That's where
your money will be also.
Yes, exactly. And he talks about lots of different examples, but the one that just comes to mind is just, where you're building, that's the kingdom that you're building. So,
right.
Yeah.
So it has lots to say about money.
And the love of money.
Right.
And the love of money. Because it's not just money, because money is an instrument, right? So money is literally an instrument. And, but it's whose instrument is it?
Okay.
Right? So, because when we, collectively the we, have the attitude that it's my money, then I actually get to make the choices about what happens to that money.
Okay.
How it's spent, etc. But as a believer, it honestly has to start with understanding that it's not my money.
Hmm.
I'm a steward of God's money. So if I'm a steward of God's money, then at the end of the day, God gets to decide how it is spent. And God will decide how much I have, and God will look after the details, but only if I first determine that it is not mine, it's His.
Right. And so if we are under this load of debt that we talked about, then really, then our minds become focused on the debt.
Correct.
Rather than on what God is calling us to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it stops us from, well, it does lots of things, because you can imagine the stress that it creates in a family.
Mm-hmm.
When you're carrying debt, it puts a strain on relationships. So it puts a strain on relationships between husbands and wives. It puts a strain on relationships between parents and children. It sets a wrong example for children, because they see that this is how mom and dad spend, so therefore that must be okay. And then they will ask for things, and when they get those things, then they ask for more things, and then when they get those things, so again, it sets expectations. And it puts a strain on relationships.
And often we don't think that money puts a strain on relationships. We think, well, money will solve the relationship problems, except when you get those bills at the end of the month and you're just like, whoa, how did we ever spend this much money?
Mm-hmm.
And I was sharing with Jane beforehand of, I had heard a story of a gentleman who had lost his job and immediately committed suicide. And I immediately thought, why?
Mm-hmm.
And is it, and I don't know, I guess I'm making a guess here, but I think sometimes our debt load can become so heavy that when that paycheck doesn't come in anymore, we ask the question, how am I ever going to meet my bills? Our lives are completely different now. We're going to lose the house. We're going to lose the card.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole, as you said, money can put a strain on relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The debt can put a strain on the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be in several instances where people lose their job and they need that paycheck to come in so they can at least pay off some of the debt, not even live, but pay off the debt, so in their minds can perceive to be living.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it's gone, then the bottom has come out.
And it's not even, I would say it's not even losing a job, but I mean, there were instances historically in the Great Depression when the markets crashed of multiple suicides in 2008. More recently, for many of us who would have been alive then, there were suicides when the markets crashed. So, yeah. And to me, it's really, again, so that's where their faith had been placed, had been in that money, right? It's not about should they have been invested in, should we invest in the markets? That's a whole different conversation. This is about what am I placing my faith in rather than whose money is this?
So I want you to think about that. We're going to go to a commercial break, but whose money is this? And when we come back, we're going to jump into, well, how do I actually get rid of this debt so I can start living out the whose money is this? So we will be back right after this.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost, for just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
And we're back with New Every Day. We thank you so much for tuning in every week and hearing what it is that whatever it is that we are talking about. And this week we are talking about money matters and how it affects our lives. And at the end of the day, this show needs money to run.
Yes.
And so if you feel like you would like to help support us make this show happen, please go to our website. It has a few spots there where you can check out how can I help support New Every Day in communicating truth every week. So we encourage you to go to our website, www.neweveryday.tv. Check out our sponsors. There should be a thing that they click on. You can tell I talk about websites all the time. There should be a thing to click on, and I'm sure Robbie can put something up there to help show you what you can click on in order to find out more information about how you can support us. And you're thinking, this is why Carrie is there, because that's true. She normally looks after this. So we're back, and we are talking about, well, the number one question that often people will come to Jane and say is, how do I get out of debt? Because debt literally can fracture, break relationships, can limit, I want to say, almost bind us up in what it is that God is calling us to, the life that he has called us to. And so the question then is, okay, how do we get out of debt? So I come to you, I have my student loan of, let's say, okay, because I'm single, so I don't have a married loan here. So I'm going to say I have $30,000. Is that an average amount?
Sure.
Okay, so I have $30,000 in debt.
That's actually low. But okay, we'll go with 30.
I graduated from university in the 1990s.
Yes.
Okay, so let's say 50.
Sure. So, but before whatever the amount is, let me just take a step back here, because the number one thing that people come and ask me about is actually not how do I get out of debt, period. But the number one thing that people actually come and talk to me about is how do I get out of debt, comma, so that I can not make any changes to my lifestyle, because that's actually the number one thing. Okay,
that's interesting.
Yes.
Right, because they have a level that they want.
That's right. Okay. So they're actually not, most people are not prepared to make any changes to their lifestyle. They want to eliminate some debt, but not make any changes to their lifestyle. So I'm just saying, let's just put that out there. And I'd like you to just be honest with yourself and say, am I that person? Am I that person that, yes, recognizes I'm carrying debt? And yes, I want to get out of debt, but is it, I want to get out of debt, period? Or is it, I want to get out of debt, comma, but I'm not willing to make any changes?
Yes.
So I'll leave that with you, watchers. You can decide for yourself who you are. That's between you and God. So I'm going to answer the question now.
Okay, that's good. And I'm laughing because I was telling Jane before we sat down, I'm like, oh yes, I set aside, you mm-hmm. know, budgeted money, and when it runs out, then normally I'm pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not all the time, because as soon as you said the comma, I'm like, what is she going to say? Did we talk about this? And you said, but I don't want to make any changes to my lifestyle. I immediately went, that's me. Mm-hmm. Like, because I'm like, oh no, I'll just dip into my savings and I can still get
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and by the way, that's me sometimes too. Okay. So we are all works in progress.
Okay. So how do we get out of debt?
Period. Right.
Okay.
So number one, it starts with, it's not my money, it's God's money. Number two, I need to pray about this. I need to give this over to God. I need to give God lordship over my finances. All of it, not just part of it. And I need to ask God to help me to make changes and to be content with those changes and not to compare myself to others around me who from the outside may appear to have more. So after I've done that, then some practical things that we can do. Generally speaking, people don't come to me because they only have one debt. Generally speaking, they're carrying multiple debts on multiple credit cards as well as different loans. So we have to make baby steps.
Okay.
So if that's you, if you're carrying debt in multiple places, then you need to start somewhere where you have a sense of accomplishment. So make a list of who you owe and how much you owe money to, and start with establishing a reasonable period of time that it will take you to pay off one of them. So start with the one that has the lowest balance, because you want to give yourself that sense of accomplishment at the end of it, that yes, I can do that. So if you have, for example, a credit card that you owe $2,000 on, and you have a line of credit that you owe $20,000 on, don't try and pay the $20,000 one off first, because it will take you too long and you will be discouraged. So start with the $2,000 debt.
Now, what if the interest rate is, and I don't really know a whole lot about interest rates, right? This is why I hang out with Jane, because I'll say, I have a money question. She's like, okay, let's talk.
Mm-hmm.
But what if the interest rate is higher on the $20,000 rather than the $2,000? Like, should interest rate play into this?
Well, that's a great question. And different people that you talk to will have different perspectives. My perspective is, you got yourself into this mess. So you need to get yourself out of this mess, not by trying to shortchange somebody else on the interest rate.
Okay.
So at this point, that's actually what I say. I said, you need to take ownership of your own debt. This is not a time of, trying to get another lender to take on your debt to get a cheaper interest rate, because all you're doing is shifting money around. So
like, consolidation is a no-no?
Well, again, remember where I started?
Yes.
I started with, you need to determine that you're willing to make changes. So I want to get out of debt, period, not comma.
Right.
A consolidation loan is a comma, not a period.
Okay.
Okay. Does that help?
Yes.
Now, this is my perspective. And this is my perspective based on my experience with people.
Okay.
That a consolidation loan is a comma, not a period.
Okay. Because it helps me live at what I am normally used to living at, but not necessarily getting ahead to where I need to
be. Correct. because a consolidation loan means that you have cleared off the balance on that credit card to do what?
To use it again.
Exactly. That's why it's a comma, not a period.
So if it was a consolidation loan, then it should be a cut.
It should be a call the company while you're here in my office and close that out. And I don't care what kind of mailings you get offering you credit, throw them out. Do not open them.
Yes. Okay. All right. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you have two lines of our credit card and line of credit, then pick the one that's smaller
and set yourself a goal. So be reasonable about what your net income is, that net income being what you're taking home every pay, and say, how much can I pay on that? Which actually takes us to, well, I don't know how much I can pay on that because I don't really pay attention to where my money goes.
Oh,
right. So, which actually would lead us into a conversation around budgeting. So,
okay. So on that note, we're going to push pause.
Okay.
We're going to push pause because that's going to be a big conversation about budgeting, and we want to make sure we give enough time to it. Mm-hmm. But we also want to give you thought time this week to talk to Jesus, to say, God, how are you and I doing with finances? Like, if we talk about the dog wagging the tail or the tail wagging the dog, are your finances directing you or are you directing your finances? And that's something really to surrender to Jesus. So this week coming, we want you to say, okay, Lord, how am I doing with my finances? And even if it's like, you know, your bills come in or they come out, you get your bank statement and just surrender it to the Lord and say, can we talk about this? Like, where am I at in this? And then we'll come back in next week and we'll talk about budgeting as that next step, as the Lord speaks to you this week. And basically the question that you're asking is, Lord, are my finances surrendered to you and am I in a good place? So let's pray. So Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that when you look at us, you do not see us as a period. You really do see us as a comma. Like, yes, they are doing this, but if they would surrender it to me, I can help them. And so, Father, I thank you so much that you never throw us out, that you always are so full of grace. And for some of us, some of our people that are watching, the debt is so overwhelming that there just seems like no place out, that there's no way out. And how, Lord, could they ever get out from under it? But I believe, Lord God, that you're wanting to do some miracles in people's lives that are watching today. And so I ask in your name that as we surrender our finances to you this week, asking the question, am I where you want me to be with this, Lord? Or are the finances taking over? I ask that you would speak truth into our hearts and that we would be willing to receive that truth. So, Father, we commit this week to you. We thank you for today. We thank you for Jane and her being here. We look forward to what else you have to say to us about godly finances. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, thank you so much for tuning in this week. We look forward to spending some time with you next week. So, until then, have a great day. Bye-bye.